Genesis chapter 1 provides an important foundation for the whole of the Christian faith. And one of the reasons we're doing that this first Lord's Day of a new year is to understand what is at stake in what Christians believe about creation. It's a simple test in a way. Do you believe God and his word? Do you believe that a natural reading of his word is profitable and sufficient for your life, and his word to guide you in this year ahead by his word and his Holy Spirit as God leads us on? So this first chapter of Genesis is important not just for unbelievers to hear about a mighty creator God, but in some ways, perhaps even more importantly, it's also a good test for believers. Will we believe God, or will we allow the teaching of the secular world to distort the teaching of God's word which alone is able to make us wise to salvation? Just as an aside, if you don't think God created the heavens and the earth, but that everything came about by so-called evolution, how do you think God is going to create the new heavens and the new earth? Will that be by evolution? Let me also ask whether you've heard about the new atheists. I'm going to say a little about this movement because I'm coming more and more, and perhaps you have come across this more and more, those who will say that religion, perhaps even Christianity, is the cause of conflict and wars and violence and trouble in the world. We should discard religion, we should discard Christianity, we hear, because it's the cause of so much trouble. Now, if you've heard that, where does that come from? Where does that thinking come from? Well, there are four prominent new atheist authors. They're called the Four Horsemen of Atheism. And that view that the trouble in the world would be solved if we did away with religion, if we did away with Christianity, this is where it comes from. Atheism. The first is Richard Dawkins, an evolutionary biologist and author. He's the Emeritus Fellow of New College, Oxford. He was a professor for public understanding of science in Oxford until 2008. He's well known for his criticism of creation. He's a very vocal atheist. Some academics have described Dawkins as an atheist fundamentalist. He published the book The God Delusion. A supernatural creator does not exist, he argued, and religious faith is a delusion. Sam Harris is another of the new atheists. Over 1 million people listen to his podcasts. He wrote a book called The End of Faith. Religion is evil, he argues. If we're going to survive as a species, we're going to have to jettison all religious belief, he argues. All wars, all conflicts can be traced to religion. So you see where that stream is leading. Daniel Dennett was a vocal atheist. He died last year. In his book, Breaking the Spell, he said, naturalistic, evolutionary reasons account for religious belief. But as we move on, religious belief can be jettisoned. He did research into ministers of religion who are secretly atheists. He found that there's a don't ask, don't tell conspiracy in the liberal church. Unbelieving clergy didn't want to lose their jobs or their church supplied houses. So he gathered unbelieving voices together and he co-authored a book called Caught in the Pulpit, Leaving Belief Behind. And then most popularly, perhaps, Christopher Hitchens died in 2011 when he was asked by the independent newspaper what he considered to be the axis of evil. Hitchens replied, Christianity, Judaism, Islam. The three leading monotheistic religions, they're the axis of evil. And he widened that later to Buddhism, Hinduism, neo-paganism. He says, religion is the source of hatred in the world. Violent, irrational, intolerant, allied to racism and bigotry, invested in ignorance, contemptuous of women, and coercive towards children. So you see this idea, which is spreading in the culture. Religion is the cause of trouble. Religion is the cause of wars. Religion is the cause of violence. Do away with religion and we'd be much happier as a society. Where does it come from? That thinking, that stream of thinking, comes from this stream of what's called the new atheism. And one of the fundamental arguments in this new atheism is that the Bible's account of creation, as I've read it to you this morning from Genesis chapter 1, the Bible's view of creation is irreconcilable with science and reality. He says you cannot be a Christian and affirm reality as we've come to know it. Science has undermined the truth claims of Christianity, they argue. And many young Christians encounter that argument as they start primary or secondary school or university. And they encounter a tension when they try to put two worldviews together. On the one hand, there's the worldview of the universe and its origins and humanity and our origins, which they hear from an atheist scientific worldview, so-called. And on the other hand, there's the worldview of the universe and its origins and humanity and our origins, which they hear from the Bible and which they hear from the Church of Jesus Christ. And when they try to bring those two worldviews together, they wonder, is Christianity viable in the light of the truth claims of atheistic science? So there's a lot at stake in the Bible's teaching about creation. That's why I want us to think about it this first Lord's Day of a new year. Because there have been various reactions to that clash of worldviews. Some have argued that what we need to do is accommodate Christian belief to science. They say if science has proved that the Bible's views of human origins are wrong, then we just need to acknowledge that the Bible is wrong, but we can still carry on as Christians. If science calls into question Genesis chapter 1, God creating the heavens and the earth in 6 days, then we just jettison that part of the Bible, but we can still carry on as Christians, they say. It's called a strategy of accommodation. Now, what I want to say loud and clear is that strategy of accommodation is disastrous and wrong. It's an argument that's been made repeatedly over the last 150 years that we can say, well, if the Bible is wrong in certain matters of science, still the kernel, the essence, the seed of faith, Christianity, can continue. And everywhere where that's been done, Christianity is dying. There have been whole denominations that have followed that strategy. And they're either already in the graveyard or they're heading there quickly. This accommodation strategy that we can say, we can carry on as Christians, but we don't have to believe Genesis chapter 1. That is disaster. The other strategy, of course, of many has been to jettison Christianity. They say if science has proved Christianity wrong, Christianity must